She said it all. Well, as you know, we follow the lectionary in this church, so it's likely that last week you heard about Matthew's account of the baptism of Jesus, led by Nana. Today we look at the day after Jesus is baptized. John sees Jesus walking down the road and tells those present that here is the Lamb of God. He could have just said, "Here comes that man I was telling you about earlier," and those with him might have just looked up and gone right back to what they were doing. But it didn't happen like that, did it? Jesus knew who this man was. He was the Messiah, and he wanted everyone to know about him. So why do we find this so hard to do? Why are we so afraid of spreading the good news to others? Maybe part of our fear comes from the fact that we just don't see God at work in our lives. And yet, each of us has had some encounter with Jesus, or we wouldn't be here right now. John saw Jesus and openly declared, "Here comes the Lamb of God, the one who takes away the sin of the entire world." That's quite a statement, but John had experienced something his disciples apparently had not, and he was eager to tell them about that experience. He wanted them to see it too. So John told them what he had seen: the Spirit of God coming down from heaven like a dove and resting on Jesus. He said, "I myself have seen and testified that this is the Son of God." He saw the Spirit rest on Jesus with his own eyes, and he recognized that Jesus was the one he'd been waiting for, the one he'd been looking for. We're in the season of Epiphany, when we remember how Jesus was revealed to the wise men who came from the east. But it's important to remember that the wise men saw the star because they had been looking for it. In order to see God among us, we need to be looking for God at work in our lives. When John's disciples went after Jesus, he asked them, "What are you looking for?" When Jesus asked Andrew and the other disciple, "What are you looking for?" it means a lot more than, "Did you just lose something? Can I help you find it?" Jesus is really asking, "What are you searching for in life?" Jesus asks us the same question: "What are you looking for?" He's still asking. He still wants to know, because we are really good at looking for all the wrong things in all the wrong places. When Jesus asks them, "What are you looking for?" they know what they're looking for. When they come face to face with Jesus, they suddenly realize that the thing they've been seeking is this man standing in front of them. They respond with a question of their own: "Rabbi, where are you staying?" Again, this means more than, "What's your current address?" They're really asking, "Teacher, what is it like to abide with you? Is there room for us in your life? Can we come and live where you live? Will you teach us?" Because what we are looking for is something we can devote our lives to. We're looking for someone who will teach us things of God. If you are who John says you are, we want to spend every possible moment in your presence. Where are you abiding so we can come and abide with you? And Jesus invites them to come and see. He invites them immediately into his life. He does this with the understanding that they may choose not to follow. Once they've seen his accommodation and had a taste of his teaching, they may not want to stay. But his invitation is open anyway. Come and see. When Jesus says, "What are you looking for?" he's asking if we are ready to be disciples. If we are looking for comfort or security or some assurance that we are right, we might be looking in the wrong direction. If we're looking for acceptance or affirmation from others that we are good people, we might not be ready to ask where Jesus lives. If we want to be with him day in and day out from this moment and for all eternity, if we recognise that following Jesus is the only way to know the fullness of God's love, then it just makes sense for us to want to spend every moment in Christ's presence. We often talk about inviting Jesus into our hearts or making Jesus part of our lives. But what if we turn that around and realise that Jesus is welcoming us into his life? Jesus invites us to come and see where he lives. He offers us the opportunity to become part of what he is doing. His invitation is open, but it's up to us to follow, up to us to come and see. We must decide if we can make that kind of deep commitment, if we can devote ourselves to that kind of close relationship. It means letting go of our own assumptions and expectations and surrendering our whole being to God's desire and plan for us. What are you seeking with all your being? What is your soul's deep longing? It's not enough to just see Jesus. He calls us to show him through our lives as he changes us. He calls us to share the good news that he changes us. Notice that it doesn't take long for Andrew to go looking for his brother Simon, to show him Jesus, to share with him what Andrew has experienced. And the instant Jesus meets Simon, he gives him a new name, Peter, or Rock. Jesus gives each of us a new name the moment we meet him too. Think about the name given to us at our baptism. We are called Beloved and Child of God. We are reminded of this new entity in 1 John 3, verse 1. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. You see, following Jesus wherever he goes, living with him, is the only way we are ever going to find what we are seeking. Entering into a lifelong commitment to be part of Christ's life is the only way we'll ever fulfill that deep longing inside us. It's a longing we might not even be able to name, but it's there. Jesus asks, what are you looking for? Are you looking for grace and forgiveness? Are you looking for abundant life? Are you looking for an abiding and deep connection with the God who created you just so he could love you? Jesus isn't sitting around waiting for us to invite him into our lives. Instead, Jesus invites us into his life. With his come and see, Jesus includes us in his Lamb of God work. Some people talk about how Jesus fills a God-sized hole in their lives. It's not really about that. It's about filling the you-sized place you can claim in God's family by accepting Christ's invitation into his grace. Amen.